Hello, everyone. This is Robert Middleton and Action Plan Marketing. And this is the audio program on the art and science of the telephone follow-up. And I'm here with Denise Clancy of Teledirect Partners, who I'll introduce in just a minute. I decided to interview Denise for this program because the telephone follow-up is one of the most important parts of the marketing process. You might say it's that pivotal point between marketing and the sales appointment. And so if you get out there and market and network and give talks and generate leads, etc., ultimately to get to the sales appointment, you have to do telephone follow-up. And if you don't do that and you just wait around for people to call you, you'll have less appointments, get less clients, and make less money. So in this class, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what it takes to follow up by phone successfully, make more appointments, and build your business. So let me quickly introduce Denise. Denise has been in the telesales and customer service industry for 20-plus years. She works with small businesses and independent professionals to improve their ability to sell and service their customers via the telephone. Denise started her company, Teledirect Partners, in 2003. And prior to starting her business, she ran call centers for MCI, Lotus, and IBM. In fact, with Lotus, she established a successful small business sales organization that was responsible for bringing in $32 million in new business in its first full year of operation, 100% via telephone. So Denise really knows what she's doing in terms of telephone follow-up. Denise is a frequent speaker on the subject of teleselling skills and techniques and has published a number of articles on the subject. Denise is the author of the upcoming book, tentatively titled Telephone Traction, 118 Tips for Telesales and Customer Service Managers. Welcome to the teleclass.
Thank you, Robert. Denise. It's good to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome, and I'm really excited about this because, as I said, this is such an important thing. So tell me, what is the art and science of telephone follow-up as you think of it?
Well, I like to think it's a combination of the value and the enthusiasm that your voice and your personality brings to the call, mm-hmm. combined with the systematic approach to actually making the call. So you mentioned earlier that you go, you do all of this marketing, you go to events, you do speaking engagements, and then you sit and you might wait for people to call you or people to contact you. When you develop good telephone follow-up skills and you develop your art and you develop the science and systematic approach, you should reach out to them after these events and you should follow up with a good number of the people that you've met at these events or members of the audience of presentations that you've made.
Absolutely. Again, you just can't wait around for this to happen. But people avoid making these calls, and we'll talk about this kind of thing, and they don't know what to do and how what to say and how to organize it, and therefore it's not unusual that people procrastinate with this a lot, right?
Yes, and it's interesting, too, because these same people use their phones all the time. In fact, the cell phone is becoming, you know, almost an extension of our ear some days. Yet when it comes to making calls about your business, many people hesitate.
Right.
And I think it's because they haven't really sat down to think through what skills they need to develop and what process they need to put in place to do it well. So when I talk about the art, you know, the art is your personality. It's your voice. It's your inflection. It's the vehicle for expressing your message. So you need to think about what your voice communicates about you. You need to think about the pace of the call, the tone, the enthusiasm that you bring to the call. And you need to practice these things in order to project yourself well on the phone. But, of course, that, you know, just having those things and being the best that you can be in expressing yourself over the telephone doesn't work if you don't pick up the phone.
Right.
Yeah, so then you need to set up a process for the follow-up. So an example would be if you're presenting to a group of people, prior to even going to the event, you've developed your presentation, you've developed all the material you're going to give out, You're ready with your slideshow, if in fact you're doing a slideshow. You're ready with your stand-up routine. Prior to even arriving at the event, you should think through, okay, who might be there and what should I be doing as a follow-up to this event, to my presentation? Should I be offering something as part of my presentation, or should I be considering to offer something in a follow-up? Now, of course, you could do that by email, but some certain subset of the people that you meet at the presentation, you should actually pick up the phone and give them a call. It's an ideal time. They've heard you present. They were interested in your topic. Typically, in these kinds of presentations, you might have met a few of them face-to-face. You have some notes about them on the back of their business cards. You should develop an approach that you're going to take and actually pick up the phone within a day or two of having presented.
Now, I don't know if this is the right time to ask this, Denise, but I think a lot of people get stuck in this because they go, well, if they didn't follow up with me, that means they weren't interested. Is that true?
I don't ever believe that's true. I think that there is some group of people, if they didn't follow up with you, that they're not interested. But I think people, just as you return from your presentation to your office and get caught up in things, I think people return to their office, and even though they were interested, particularly the ones that were interested enough to approach you personally.
Absolutely.
Interested, yeah. But they just don't go through the trouble. And I would also say, too, that if I'm approaching a speaker in an event and I express interest, I would hope that that speaker would have some sort of systematic way of reaching out to me to ask me if I continue to be interested.
That's right. We forget that if we actually get a good follow-up call like this from someone, we're actually pleased to get it.
Yeah.
They are spending time and attention on us. We like that. And so we often build up these beliefs and ideas that following up with calls like this is just a bother or an intrusion, and it just isn't true. You know, that doesn't mean you call every single person you ever meet. But anyway, that's sort of the foundation of this. It's being prepared. It's knowing that you should call. It's making the calls. So what's sort of the basic preparation for this? What's more of the foundation that we need to know?
Well, so the basic foundation for any kind of good systematic way of approaching a call is to know what you're going to say, is to develop a simple call guide with your message in the call, and also to understand that as part of that conversation, it is a conversation, as part of the conversation with the person on the other end of the phone, they might in fact have some questions. So you should also be prepared not only to express your message, but also be prepared to handle questions. And those range everywhere from very common questions or statements like, I don't have time right now, but I am interested, please call me at another time, or I'm not interested, I don't have the money right now, to something more complex like, how does your service help me specifically? How does your service do fill in the blank? You know, what does your company bring to the table that I might need? And you should be prepared for that.
And I think we're going to get into more details about scripts later on, but, you know, I remember, Denise, the early days of me starting my business and making follow-up calls, and I really prepared, and I wrote out my scripts. I often wrote it out, then I typed it out, then I practiced it out loud, and it wasn't anything really complex. It was just so I didn't get tongue-tied. You know, you're always often a little bit nervous making these calls.
Yes.
So the more you're prepared ahead of time, and you know what you're going to say. Hi, this is Robert Middleton from Action Plan Marketing. You just attended my talk last night, and I just wanted to follow up with you. And first of all, I wanted to know, how did you like the talk? Did you get some good ideas or something like that? And you've written that out, and you've practiced it, and it's going to feel natural instead of fumbling around incoherently.
Right, right.
It's like you pick up the phone, and your mind goes, you know,
blank.
Goes AWOL.
Right.
And by just doing some of that preparation. Again, we'll get more into some of the specific scripts later.
I want to make a point on that, too. Robert, you took, when you wrote out scripts and then practiced them, you actually took it to a level that most people don't do. People actually, 9 times out of 10, if you say to somebody you should write a call guide, you should write a script, they'll go through the trouble of doing that. And they may even practice, but a lot of times they practice by reading it, rather than speaking it aloud.
Right.
I recommend doing a number of different things. I recommend, you know, certainly reading it to yourself.
Yep.
I recommend standing in front of a mirror, because it's really surprising the difference in the tone of your voice if you practice in front of a mirror as you're reading the script. You see, you catch your image in the mirror and you lighten up a bit, or you start smiling at yourself. Something comes through on the...
Yeah,
on
you
the
see yourself in the mirror, how glum and morose you look, and you
true.
Realize that's coming out in your voice, and
right.
so that cracks you up a bit.
Right.
I mean, seriously, it happens.
Right.
Or you tape record yourself. I used to do that quite a bit. And you can hear the tone. You know, do I sound like someone I would like to hear from or not, you know? And that really makes a big difference.
Yes, and it's amazing, you know, even without going into all the details about whether or not you can tape both sides of the conversation or whatnot, if you tape yourself on a call, a live call or a practice call, tape just the side that, just your side of the call, it's amazing what you'll hear in terms of tone and voice and words that you use and pace, and all of that can be used to improve the next call.
Yeah, it can be a bit brutal, but
yeah, true.
It's worth doing.
Yeah, I recommend also too, if you have the advantage of it, I recommend putting a small mirror in front of your phone or in front of, you know, by your computer, wherever you're making your calls, because if you catch yourself in the mirror, chances are you'll smile, and a smile does come through the call.
That's right. So your expression shows in your tone of voice.
Right, which is why you also should sit up, perhaps even stand, if you're accustomed to gesturing as you talk. I highly recommend standing up and gesturing wherever, however you can bring your personality into the call, you should.
Okay, good. Now, can we go back to this other piece? I think I want to get into a little bit more. The who and why you called. I mean, we talked about the why. If you don't call, they're not going to call you. It's a thing that keeps the sales process going. But let's just brainstorm, you know, a bunch of different scenarios why you would call somebody. What are various scenarios for follow-up calls?
Well, I have my database, my list. It's a list of names clustered into a couple of smaller lists. I would call people just to touch base. Haven't spoken to you in a while. Just wanted to say hello, wondered how your business was going, wondered about, and I, as part of my notes, I take down some notes from our last conversation. Wondered about, Robert, I wondered about your vacation. The last time we spoke, you were preparing for vacation. So it's a touching base. You can call people because you have a piece of information or something of interest to them. And many of us think nothing of sending an email. Oh, saw this article on this website, thought you would be interested.
Right.
Do the same thing on a telephone call. I saw this article. I thought you would be interested. I just want to touch base. Here was the interesting piece to the article. Now, naturally, you also end up sending that to them, but it's a way of getting yourself connected to them personally.
And I want to add a bit to this, because I can't tell you, Denise, how many people I have talked to that have done that, get into a conversation, and then the person says, hey, you know, we're working with this. Do you think you could help us with that? And it's happened more times than I can tell you. And it's very different than making calls saying, hi, this is Robert Middleton, just touching in. Do you have any work for me right now?
Right, right. And that is, of course, the next level of calls that you could do. You know, so you could classify and delineate your list into suspects, people that you're interested in speaking with. They may not know you, but you would be interested in chatting with them and getting to know them and their business.
And we'll talk about some scripts for those people later on, shall we?
Yes, that would be great.
Because that would be more the cold call.
Yeah.
And, you know, I created a new way to think about cold calls. Don't think of them cold calls. Think of them as introductory calls. And if you can call someone to introduce yourself, you're not selling them that second, but just to introduce yourself, can actually be quite effective and not result in a lot of rejection if you know how to do it. Okay, what are some other scenarios?
Well, then there was the more classic. You've got prospects on your base, and you've got customers on your list as well, and you need to have an approach for each of those. And, you know, to your earlier example, Robert, there are people that you've spoken with that don't have need of your service today, but if you were to stay in touch with them through various marketing methods, as well as picking up the phone every once in a while, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, a year from now, they're happy to hear from you, and they, you know, you introduce yourself, you say, I'm just touching base, we last spoke about whatever we last spoke about, and they say, well, you know, now that I have you on the phone, we are going down this path, or you did mention, Denise, that you improved telephone skills, and I do have a number of issues around that, and I'd love to explore that further with you.
So before you know it, you're discovering so many reasons to reach out to people. I remember early in my career, I created a new workshop, and so I had a list of people that had been to programs or I'd worked with one-on-one. I don't know how many people, 24, 30 people, something like that. So I called them all up and said, hey, I'm doing this new program. This is what it's about. I think you might be interested. I want to invite you in and talk to you about it. Most of them said yes, and most of them signed up. And that isn't going to happen just sitting around twiddling your thumbs. People are not going to say, hey, do you have this kind of program and can I sign up? It is not going to happen. So it's being proactive, and you can actually do real campaigns around just following up and setting up those times to talk about something, especially if it's a more expensive, more complex service. You know, I've been thinking of you. I've developed this thing. I have this new thing, etc. There's so many different ways. And then there's just the basic follow-up through your marketing, right?
Yes, there's the basic, particularly to the prospects that you know that need to advance, or even the customers where you want to sell additional services or you think they'd be interested in additional services. There's a way of advancing the prospect and the customer through the marketing plan, through your marketing plan that allows you to call them and advance them to the next step. You know, either by setting up an appointment to see them or by sending them more, you know, you call and you find that they're interested in something and you send them more information and then say that you'll call them in a couple of weeks to follow up on it.
But right.
It's a way of advancing them.
And one of my favorite ways that I did for years and got a ton of business this way is I did talks. And you were talking about that a bit earlier, but you do a talk and then you offer a complimentary follow-up session. I actually did a similar thing with one of my marketing coaches. She was at a seminar, and she offered a complimentary marketing strategy session. The regular fee for that is $295, but if you wanted to sign up for today, she'd do it. And essentially, that marketing strategy session was a sales call. It was an opportunity to find out about their needs, their challenges, where they wanted to go, what she could do with them. She got 11 people at that group to sign up, and 7 turned into clients. So that was all through, you know, putting out or presenting an opportunity to have a conversation. Having a conversation with you can actually give someone value. It's not wasting their time. It helps them get clearer about their direction, etc.
Now, in that case, Robert, now did all of the people come forward and say, I'd be interested at the event?
Well, out of 30, 11 people took her up on it.
Now, you know, I have to say, putting my telephone hat on, I wonder, out of the 30, if there wasn't another group of people who, if there was a phone call placed after the fact,
yes,
ended my session.
Yes.
I know you didn't sign up, and that's perfectly fine. I just wanted to check in with you. You asked some of the similar questions that you said at the beginning.
That's right.
What did you think of it? You must have been there for a reason. What was the particular reason that drove you to sign up for the session to begin with? And, oh, by the way, wanted to let you know, although there was an offer on the table at the event, did want to continue to extend that offer to you for the next week. And I'm interested to know if you'd like to take me up on that.
Yeah, and I'll bet you a buck the other 15 people, half of them or more, might take her up on this.
Some percentage would, and I'm sure
yes,
that it would more than pay for itself.
And it's how you think about it, right, Denise? See, that's how you think about it. You don't know if someone will accept an invitation unless you extend the darn invitation, right?
Right.
And we're all sort of waiting around hoping that people will ask us, where that is not their job. It's our job to invite them. It's not our job yet to sell them. You have to sort of have permission to start selling, but you know, you've been at a talk, they've been spent 3 hours with you, they have a good connection with you, they will take your call. And so if it's one of the most powerful ways to take it to the next level is giving these presentations and doing this kind of thing. And then, of course, there's networking. You go to a networking event, you meet people, you get cards. I can't tell you how many events that I've been to, Denise, where people have gotten my card and I said, yeah, call me about that. I'm interested. And did I hear from them? No.
No.
So you really wonder.
Didn't get an email, did you?
What?
You probably didn't even get an email, did you?
No. Or the time I went to this is another place to get a lot of leads to follow up. And you do a tabletop expo at a chamber of commerce or a professional group, and people come and they go around and you talk to them and they give you their card. And I did that at a group a few months back, and I gave maybe 20 cards away. Only one followed up. So there's a lot of opportunity out there that people are not taking advantage of. Only one person. And not only that, it was a terrible follow-up call. And then I said, you know, now is not a good time to talk, but could we talk tomorrow at 3? That would be fine. And he didn't follow up.
Oh, that's a cardinal sin.
So I'll bet a few people that are listening to this are nodding their heads going, yes, I've been there. I haven't followed up. I've forgotten to. It's not forgotten. Often we're afraid. We're worried about rejection. We make up all this stuff in your head about it, I tell you. And yet, if you don't make those follow-up calls, huge opportunities can be lost.
Right. And to your point earlier about selling, every call is not a sales call.
No.
It's part of the marketing and sales mix.
Yes.
It's the intent of every call is to advance the relationship.
Yes.
That's
exactly.
That I make for every call. I intend to advance the relationship. Now, I could be advancing the relationship from an unknown person to slightly more known. I could be advancing the relationship from having presented to understanding deeper their interest. Every conversation, whether it be email or in my case, it's always, you know, 90% of my correspondence is telephone. Every telephone call is an opportunity to advance the relationship. And that's how we need to think about these things. Because I think where people get stuck is I think they get stuck when they think, I really need to know how to sell. I need to know how to close. I need to know, you know, I need all the skills that a really sharp salesperson has.
Right.
And that's not true. That's not true at all.
Yeah, often what people want, if they're showing some interest, is they want to know that you're real, that you're credible, that you're interested, that you have valuable information, which is something that you can forward as well, such as articles or pages on your website. And that's the whole marketing process, isn't it? And at some point, it gets to the point where it's like, yeah, I think I'd really like to see how this would help me, or can you tell me more how that would work? And then you start to transition more into the selling conversation.
Right. And the single most important thing that you bring to the phone call is your enthusiasm for the work that you do.
Right.
And if you harness that and you harness the enthusiasm, you can get through a phone call that advances the relationship.
Yeah, so true. So true. So it's how you come across just as much and sometimes more than what you say. Because enthusiasm is contagious.
Yes.
So let's get more into some of the specifics of the conversation. You know, what do you say in different situations? And how do you create scripts? And, you know, what are some of the nuts and bolts of this? And I think we'll spend a good bit of time on this. We might even do some mini role plays on this.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't we get into this next part?
Okay. So I always say that you should have 4 different types of scripts. And when I say scripts, I'm talking about guides that allow you to move from one place in the conversation to the next. I'm not talking about something that has an awful lot of detail, just a guide or a map that moves you from point A to point B.
Okay.
And the 4 scripts that I say you should start at all times and you should have available to you, there's one that nobody ever thinks about, and that is, what do you say when you get voicemail? Some statistics will tell you that you get voicemail between 75% and 80% of the time these days.
Uh-huh.
That seems a little high to me, but I wouldn't be surprised in the small business market if it wasn't that high.
Oh, sure.
So you do need a script. You need a very succinct script. You need a script that allows you to present yourself and your company in a meaningful way, but in a very short way, and then identify what the next steps might be.
And, of course, it depends where you are in the process. For instance, if I'm following up from someone that I met at networking versus someone who attended a workshop versus a past client that I want to introduce a new service to, so you have to have your specific voicemail script for that particular situation, right?
Right.
So you're really talking more than four scripts, but four kinds of scripts in a way.
Four general categories. And even right. For the examples that you just presented, if you met someone and you actually did have a conversation, hopefully you remember something from the conversation, jotted a little note, and say you should do this with every phone call, jot something down. And that can become part of the script. That can be part of the conversation, or if you don't actually catch somebody live, it becomes part of the voicemail. We met at the networking event last night. You mentioned that you were sorely remiss in making telephone calls and wanted a recommendation as to who could do that for you. And I'm calling you today to discuss your needs, to talk about your business, and to see if I can't match you with a company that meets your needs. That would be an example of something I would say about networking, because I've jotted down something as the person's there or as they're leaving, jotted down something that allows me to be a little bit more personal on the voicemail message than, hi, I'm Denise Clancy calling from Teledirect Partners. We met last night and I wanted to follow up. That's a little bit too boring for me.
Yeah, so what's the whole thing behind it, you know? Or the follow-up to the workshop could be, or the introductory program or talk or something could be, hi, this is Robert Middleton, and you attended my talk on marketing tips for entrepreneurs last night, and I hope you got some great ideas. It was nice talking to you afterwards when you came up, and I just wanted to get back to you, and I'd love to chat with you about a few additional ideas that we talked about that could help you get some clients faster. Something like that, right? How'd I do?
You did really well. That was great.
Yeah, I've done this a bit as well.
Good job.
So, but here's one of the big questions. How do you end this, and do you leave the ball in their court, or do you say you'll call again? Do you just leave a number, and if they don't call back, what do you do, and, you know, that kind of thing?
Well, I think it really depends on what your purpose of the call was. In my case, if I've been to an event, say if I just recently presented to a group of about 50 people on developing their telephone techniques. Out of the 50 people, I'm going to say there were probably 50% no interest in necessarily talking to again, but interested in having them there, but no interest in following up. And 50% were people that I really wanted to speak with, of which probably another 25% of them were people I wanted to target. So I actually segmented my list. Now, for the people that I wanted to follow up with, and my goal was to follow up with everybody, people that I wanted to follow up with, but I had no real interest in hearing back from them in any particular manner, I called and said, just calling to follow up, thank you for coming to my event, for hearing my presentation. Wanted to let you know that I will be sending you an article on XYZ and wanted to wish you well in your quest to develop your telephone skills, and sent them an article. So I didn't leave it open that they should call me back, and I didn't leave it open that I would call them back. But
right.
For everybody else, I did.
And yet you never know where something like that will lead, because they could get the article handed to someone else. You just never know. Absolutely can never know. But at least you've connected and something could happen.
Right.
And that didn't take you very long to do. 30 seconds for the call, a minute or two to send the email with the attachment.
Right. And if you've got it all queued up, it becomes very systematized. Now, for the half of the audience that I really did want to follow up with, I never leave it to them to call me. I always, when I leave a message, I say, it's Denise Clancy, I'm calling about the following, and sorry I didn't reach you today, but I will call you, I'll plan to call you next week if it's something more general and I'd like to speak with them, but it's not significant that I speak with them right away. Sometimes if I want to speak with them right away or I really want to get in touch, I will say, I will call you Monday at 9, I will call you Tuesday at 4. and I try to imply an appointment in my call.
And then you put that on your calendar and call them then.
And what I do when I call, as I said, my script for that call is, hello, Robert, Denise Clancy again, and I give my phone number. As I indicated last week, I said I would call you today at 4 to talk about, and I repeat the reason for the call. And I'm sorry I missed you today. Perhaps we can touch base another time. I'll try you again. Now, I don't do that too many times, but many times when you leave a message and say that you'll call at a particular time, you'll get one of two things will happen. Either the person will call you back and say, I'm sorry, I'm not available at Tuesday at 4, but can we make another appointment?
Yes.
Or you might even get the person there waiting for your call.
Yep.
But minimally, if you touch base with that person, a lot of times they'll say, I'm sorry I missed you. It wasn't a good time for me. But it becomes part of a conversation, part of extending the relationship. Sorry I missed your call. Can we make it another time?
And also, you come across as a professional that stays in touch and keeps the word.
Yes.
And not enough people do that these days, so you stand out if you do that. As I said, a lot of people don't follow up at all. And so if you're the one that does, the one out of 20 or whatever it is, you're going to stand out.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the voicemail call. And again, you don't leave it in their court. You say, you know, I'll call this time, or you follow up a number of times. Before we finish this, how many times do you call before you give up? And I suppose it depends to some degree on how qualified or how much potential there is in this follow-up.
It really does depend. You're right. I can call someone as much as a dozen times over an extended period of time.
Right.
I don't necessarily leave a dozen phone mails. And I do, if I'm not reaching someone, I do use, if I have their email, I use email and other ways of communicating to supplement the phone calls. But I've been, you know, over the course of a year, I could call somebody a dozen times.
Right.
If the person was expressing interest, particularly if they were expressing real interest, and I've called them a number of times and over the course of time left a couple of messages and never heard back, I actually will get to the point, particularly if, you know, if they raise their hand for interest, I'll get to the point where I'll do what I call the takeaway. I'll leave one final message before I'll go on hiatus, and I'll say, you know, I've left you a couple messages. You did express interest at the BNI networking event that you wanted to follow up. I haven't heard from you, so I don't want to be a pest. I'll just leave you this one message. Hope to hear from you. If not, I'll put you in my file to call you maybe 6 months to a year from now.
Right, and then you leave your phone number.
Of course.
And I've heard people that do that, and they get a call the next day because they, it's like, oh, the person will keep calling you, and then they say they won't anymore, and then the follow-up call comes.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't, but if they do call, it shows they're qualified. And the other thing that I'll do, you mentioned email, is you can't reach them a couple times, and you send an email, if you have the email, tried to reach you a couple times and weren't able to reach you. I'd love the chance to talk to you about ABC, XYZ, whatever it is. And then say a few times that I'm available and usually give three specific times in the next week. Can you please get back to me and let me know which of those times might work? And then I'll call you sincerely. And a good percentage of those people would say, oh, sorry, I've been so busy. And 11 o'clock on Tuesday would work fine, and I'd love to hear from you. And you just have to realize that people are busy answering hundreds of emails, calls, and if you slip through the cracks, it's your fault. It's not their fault. You can't blame them.
Right.
That's not how you play the game. You're the one responsible.
Yeah, and there's also, you know, old-fashioned snail mail, too. So if you've called them and you haven't gotten a response, and say you don't have an email address, you 9 times out of 10 you can find a business address on somebody. If you at least know where they work, you can drop a personal note in the mail.
Sure.
And that also provokes people to, well, if you put your business card in there.
And that can be very powerful because they don't get a lot of those things either.
Nobody knows how to write anymore either, so most people can't decipher handwriting, so it's kind of a unique experience to get a personal note, yes.
Okay, so that's the one major script, and it's an important one because you'll be using it a lot. Because, as Denise says, it can be, you know, 75% or 80% of the time you call, you won't reach someone. And so you have to have that persistence and those many different ways that you can follow up. Okay, so what's the next script? You actually read somebody.
Well, and that is novel, isn't it? So.
Well, sometimes people call me, as I said to you before we were preparing, people call and reach me and they're surprised and don't know what to say.
Right.
Because they're actually prepared to give an email message.
Yes, and if you're like me and you block out your time and you make your calls on certain days or when you're in a certain mood, you're in the zone and you call, and all of a sudden you get a human, you're like, la la la, you know, you're tongue-tied, and you have to be prepared for this next script, which is, what do you say when you actually get the target on the phone? The person you most wanted to speak with actually picks up their phone.
Right.
And it's amazing these days, with gatekeepers and everything else, it is still amazing how many people will actually pick up their phone, even if they have all of the assistance surrounding them. So
it's true. I pick up my phone all the time. I answer my phone all day long.
Yeah.
Because I don't like returning messages, so if I can't answer it, I do.
Yeah, so you do have to be prepared for that, and sometimes that can catch you off guard. So you need that script readily available right there at your fingertips. And what would that look like? Well, first of all, you would have done a little bit of homework on this target, because if this person is a target for whatever reason, either you're advancing the conversation, you've just met the person you want to follow up, whatever the reason, you should know why you're calling. So you need to have prepared that in advance. And the way you do that is, you know, as we described around events, but also what I do when I'm calling someone out of my database is I look back over my notes from my last call. And I like to jot notes as I'm talking. So I'm sitting here with a headset, and I've got a pen, I've got a piece of paper. I'm jotting a notes as I'm talking to people, and I'm dropping those notes into their file. And I go back to those notes, and I look for a couple things. I look for what we discussed from a business point of view, most specifically about their business needs, not mine, their business needs.
Right.
And then I also look for something personal. Did I write anything down that was personal that I could bring up?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I learned early on in the selling process, way back when I first started calling for MCI, my very first sale was because I had jotted down, when I called this guy, he said it wasn't a good time to talk. His dog had just died.
Ah.
Very upset. About 3 months later, I called him back to sell him the same thing. And I said, the last time we spoke, and I gave him the date, and I said, I apologize that date for interfering in your situation because your dog had just died. He bought my product right there. Because he was so impressed by the fact that I remembered something personal about him. Well, I didn't want to tell him, you know, back then there was no such thing as CRM systems and software and whatnot. It was on my little 3x5 card that his dog, and I even might have written the dog's name, had just died, you know. And I gave it enough time and placed the call again.
Yeah, and, you know, that kind of thing, some people say, well, that's kind of manipulative, but it really isn't. It's like, yeah, look, I want to do business with this person, but I want to have a relationship with this person. I want to connect with this person. And that makes it so much more fun doing business because you're dealing with real people. It's not some number.
Right, and the opposite of that, Robert, of course.
Yep.
How many calls have you gotten where you answer the phone and the person just launches into their pitch?
Right.
You didn't even have to answer the phone. All they had to hear was that there was some breathing person on the line, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I wasn't even old enough to be manipulative at that time, so I don't recall being manipulative. What I remember about that was, this is something important. I shouldn't call him back right away.
Yep.
I should give it enough time. And it's important to say, the last time we spoke, he could have said, over and done with, don't want to talk about it, but he was relatively enamored by the fact that I remembered his personal situation. And these are about building relationships, and you can build relationships using the telephone.
No question you can. I do almost all of my business by telephone. I mean, almost all. I have people that have paid me $10,000 that I've never met, and I will never meet. So, or maybe once through the, anyway, you get the idea.
Yes, and that's why when you and I met that one time, I heard a voice in the back of the room and I knew it was you.
Uh-huh.
I had never met you.
Right.
I have a picture of you in my mind.
Right.
And I heard your voice.
It's like I've heard that guy on an audio program or whatever.
On an audio program. Where do I know that voice? Oh, my gosh, it's Robert Middleton.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
The voice speaks volume. Your enthusiasm speaks volume, but you could also establish a relationship.
Right. You know, I'd like to bring up a couple other points here for you to comment on. is, you know, sometimes you're calling someone that you don't know much about, but they're a good potential prospect for whatever reason, and I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but the importance of doing a little bit of research on that person. You're going to sell them or offer them or introduce something, and a little bit of research, and often just a little bit goes a long way. For instance, I've said if people would look at my website, read the homepage, and really get a sense of what I do before they call, that would go a long way to opening the door for a conversation with me. So if they said, "Hi, I'm Mr. Middleton, this is so-and-so, and I was looking at your website, and I thought it was very interesting that you focus primarily on independent professionals, it looks like you sell a number of products online and do the certification program, and I want to touch base with you because of whatever the reason that ties into that." And if someone does that, they have my undivided attention. Why? Because I'm very proud of my website, and it really shows that they cared enough to take a minute to look at it. Make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and the Internet has made that part of the sales call, the telephone call, so much easier.
But how many people really do that? Or this is the kind of call you more typically get. "Hi, Mr. Middleton. I saw your website, and I was just following up. And what is it you do?"
Yeah.
It's like, then you've lost me, because it's like, okay, well, why didn't you take one extra minute and actually read what was on the website? So people are often so fast to connect, and they forget the whole relationship and really giving a damn.
Right.
And it seems so simple when you think of it, but so few people do it. When you know something about somebody and you call them, it really makes a difference. It makes you stand out.
Right, and you can do that whether they have a website, or you can do that through Google.
Yep.
You can, by Googling them, you could do that by researching their industry. There's multiple ways of going about it that make it attractive to the person you're calling and make it real for the person, as well as make it seem like you have an interest in them rather than just advancing your cause.
Exactly.
And it opens up the conversation as well. Because if you're, even if by going to your website, Robert, even if I picked out the wrong thing to start having a conversation about, the fact that I went to your website and did some work allows me to then move from, one part of the conversation to another part, segue to another part, simply by having done some homework.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take that much effort.
And you could do this kind of thing at a networking event or after a speaking engagement. You get the card. These days, a large percentage of people, if they have a website, will have that on their business card. So that, two or three minutes that you take to look at their site will really warm up that call.
Right, and a decent amount have blogs. More and more have blogs.
Sure.
More and more can be found in Google because they do volunteer work or they've written articles, whatever the reason is. And minimally, like in the case of an event, if you've met somebody at an event, you could research the person, you could research their company, you could research the industry, but you should also know a little bit about the event as well and the organization that sponsored the event, so you can have a conversation about that.
Right.
There's a lot of ways to build a conversation.
So could you just give me a little sample conversation? Say I've met you at a networking event, I gave my card and said, I'd like to know more about something about telesales. I'd like to improve my skills in this area. Maybe I'm a bigger company that needs this kind of service. So, say you look at the website, you find out a bit more, what could be a typical sort of initial thing that you would say just to get the call going?
Okay, so let's
not
role
to put
play.
You on the spot or anything.
No, well, I'm working through it.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, I was writing notes, which is my typical MO. So let's walk through this. Okay, so I call you. Hello, Robert. This is Denise Clancy from Teledirect Partners.
Hi.
Hi. We met last night at the networking event.
Oh, right.
Yes, and you and I had a quick conversation at the end of the event where we were exchanging cards and a little bit of information.
Right.
So I thought I'd pick up the phone today and give you a buzz to extend that conversation and to keep the connection going, just to see what your interest is and to see if there's something I could help you with.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So last night at the event, you said that you wanted to know more about doing business by phone, about selling on the telephone and developing those techniques. And I'm interested to know what you do in that space now. Do you actually pick up the phone and call people? Are you selling yourself?
Well, you know, we generate a lot of our business from the internet. But I have a number of people that do follow-up phone calls, but nobody's very good at it. You know, we use it as part of our marketing tool, but, you know, the things that I overhear people say makes my skin crawl. So, I'm looking at getting some help with that.
Okay,
is that something that you do?
Yeah, so let me just make sure that I'm clear. So when you said last night you wanted to know more about it, were you thinking about knowing more about it for you, for the people on your team, or both?
Mostly the people on my team.
Okay, all right.
Because we do various marketing activities, and we have to follow up on that, and, you know, so is that the kind of thing that you can help me with?
Yeah, so, and are the people on your team, are they co-resident with you, or do you have a virtual team or some combination?
We have four people here in the office.
Okay.
They're making calls all the time. They're doing customer service. They're doing various things. But they're following up to present our services. I've given them some outlines. We've done some work on this. But I think it's just really falling short.
Okay. Well, that is actually one of the services that we do provide. We work with small companies and independent professionals to help them develop their skills.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of your company, I could offer to look at a couple of things. If you wanted to continue to do it using the people that you currently have, meaning you want it in-house, you want to develop their skills.
I think I do.
Okay. There is a group of offerings that I could suggest you. One is to look at the process and the scripts, all of what I call the operational pieces. You know, who are you calling? Why are you calling? What's the message you're delivering? How is it placed in your marketing continuum
right. For
its best advantage? The second piece that I also can offer in this situation is actually working one-on-one or one-to-many in the group setting to develop people's skills to take them to another level and to tightly...
Definitely something I think we need.
Okay. And that can be done. If you wanted me to work with the small group, I could do it all at once if they happen to be resident in the office, you know,
right,
over some period of time during the week. We could do it all at once at your office. Or I could actually work one-on-one with people over the telephone if people are more dispersed than that.
Okay.
So those are some of the things that I do. And actually, from there, if you were interested in pursuing it, there's actually you could go from basic skills, getting organized, to more advanced work, or actually selling, closing deals over the phone, if that's of interest to you further down the line.
Wow. So how do I find out more about all of this?
Well, that's a good question. Well, there's a couple things we could do. I could direct you to a couple places on the website that clearly spells out all of this work.
Yep.
I could also send, depending on, you know, how you want this done, I could also send you some information either through electronically or, you know,
web and PDF is fine.
Okay. I can send you some information that spells out what I offer to small businesses, what I offer to independent professionals. It is a Chinese menu kind of setup where you can pick and choose. There are some things that are deliberately connected together, so you can't disconnect them, and I do point that out. So there are some prerequisites for certain things, but for the most part, it is Chinese menu style, and you can pick from, you know, one from column A, one from column B, depending on where you think your...
Okay.
And if you don't feel, once I send this to you, if you feel like you can't get to the bottom of it, I actually do have a very simple assessment tool that I can send to members of your team. They want to fill it out, I can actually make some suggestions for you.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so that's the kind. So I do work with companies of your size. I do exactly what we described. And if you're interested, the next step would be for me to packet something up and deliver it to you. And should you be interested, once you see it, should you be interested in doing the assessment process, which the assessment is a complimentary process, I'd be happy to do that as well. And then we can talk about what the next steps would be.
Okay, terrific.
Okay. All right, so Robert, here's what will happen. I'll put this together. I'll probably have it out to you no later. Let's see, what time is it? It's about 5 o'clock Eastern. Let me work on this a little bit now. I'll probably have it to you before you open up your doors at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And then I'll plan to call you next week. Say, does Tuesday look good for you?
Yes.
Okay, would 2 o'clock your time work, or how about 4 your time?
2 is good.
2 is good. And you are on the West Coast.
Right.
Okay. So I will call you 2 p.m. Pacific time. And is this the number that I should reach you at that time?
Yep.
Terrific. Okay. Now, do you have my number, Robert, in case anything comes up?
I do, Denise. I got your card.
Okay. So then we're all set. I'll call you Tuesday of next week. That would be the 18th at 2 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, great.
And I'll speak with you then.
Fantastic.
Great. Thank you.
So I'm glad we went through that whole thing. I think that's a useful sort of overview. It went from just connecting to, me expressing some interest and you digging a bit deeper. And you didn't jump into everything you did until you asked some questions. And probably on a real call, you would have even asked more questions, is my guess.
Yeah.
But well done. And when I was showing interest, it was like you weren't trying to close the sale. You were trying to give more information than follow up on that information. And, looked like a very good prospect at that point.
Yeah, because if I hadn't asked questions, when you said originally you wanted to know more about telesales, if I just assumed it was you,
yep,
that wouldn't have advanced the conversation.
Right. So
you do need to do a little bit of probing.
So a big part of this call is finding out what do they need, what are they interested in, what's the lay of the land, so to speak, in terms of this business, and then it can lead somewhere. So that was a really good example. So this is when you reach someone, you're finding this kind of stuff out and you're giving them information and then you're following up later. And notice, everybody, that she didn't just say, okay, well, I'll send you the information and I'll call you back later. No, you nailed down a time and made an appointment for the follow-up call. And then you don't play phone tag and, all that kind of stuff that's such a time waster.
Not only that, it also books you to make a commitment to the next step as well.
Right.
Because I can't tell you the amount of times I've run into people who've actually made the first call and then don't make the second call.
Right.
Yeah, so you do have to, depending on your style and your commitment, it's always best to get a specific time to follow up, particularly if you have somebody interested.
Right, it makes it easier for you and for them.
Because you're committed, they're committed, and as long as they have your phone number and know how to reach you in case something comes up, you hold to your calendar integrity, and they'll hold to theirs.
Right.
Yes.
And then she sends a follow-up email that perhaps is a link to a web page. It has an attachment for a PDF, something like that. In the email, it would describe what this is, not too long, but pretty clear. Look at this. It gives you an idea of what we cover here. That helps you do this and this, blah, blah, blah. And then by the time you talk to them, they have a good idea what it's all about.
Right. And the other thing that happened in that call, too, is I had done my prep work to know that you were on the West Coast.
Right.
So now I'm one of these people that literally has to have a translation key in front of me, 2 o'clock equals X, to make sure I'm not calling, picking up the phone at 9 o'clock on the East Coast and waking up people.
Didn't we meet each other in a networking event?
Yes. So, I'm one of those people. So I have that in front of me.
Right.
I knew that I wanted to advance the relationship to know more about what you were interested in. I also had my secondary piece lined up. I wanted to advance the relationship, but then what if everything was going well, as this call did? You're an easy sale.
I didn't want to make it a hard one to begin
with. There you
go.
Yes, but I had everything prepared. What if they say yes? You have to be prepared for yes.
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 What
so
are we going to send?
What are you going to send?
Oh, you want all that? Well, let me take a week to put it together.
Right. And then also, you need to know what you have and what's available. And then you also need to know that when it comes to things that I think, when it comes to things related to the telephone, when it comes to telephone skills and whatnot, I personally think it can be overwhelming for people to try to figure out what they need. So I also, if the person's interested, they seem to know what they're talking about, they seem to be able to pick what they want, I'll lead with what I have. If they don't know what they want and they're really, at a standstill and can't quite figure out how to get to the next decision, I'll offer to do the assessment first.
Right.
So you do need to know how the presentation of your services or your products is coming across on the phone. Does it need extra hand-holding, or can you deliver it in a logical manner over the telephone?
Right. Now, the tricky thing about this is, of course, is we could do role plays on, 10 different kinds of professional service businesses, and that's not possible in this, but you really have to translate for your business. If you're a business coach, you have a materials appropriate to you. If you're a consultant that offers a whole bunch of stuff, you have to really narrow it down somehow to figure out what to follow up next. But the thing, you know, it's always connection, information, follow-up, as opposed to trying to make a sale or convince them of something yet. And a big part of this call, again, should be questions, finding out needs. What's your situation? What's working? What's not working? Why are you interested in this? And I told you, you know, things aren't going so well, and I hear people, and blah, blah, blah. So the more you find out, the better you can make it work. So let's jump to the next one. We can't spend forever on this.
Okay.
So there's the voicemail call, there's the Reach Now call, and all the way to the end of setting another appointment. What are the other two scripts or calls that happen?
Well, the third script is the one for the gatekeeper. And
uh-huh.
there actually are still gatekeepers out there. And depending on where you focus your marketing and sales efforts, you might, in fact, run into more gatekeepers than you choose to admit. So you do need to have a script for gatekeeper.
And again, different situations. If someone gave you a card at a workshop, that's sort of easy. You know, he gave me the card at the workshop and asked me to follow up with him. So give me sort of the range of possibilities here with gatekeepers.
Well, the most important thing to think about when you develop a presentation, a conversation with a gatekeeper, is you want that person to think that it's in their best interest to be helpful to you. So you need their help.
Okay.
I always treat gatekeepers as an opportunity to advance me to my target rather than someone that I need to barrel through.
Uh-huh.
So I think of them as my ally.
Right.
So there's a couple things you should do. First of all, from a protocol point of view, you should always make sure that you capture their name and that as you're closing the conversation, you repeat their name. Say, thank you, Sally. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate
right.
your time. So that's one thing. And the other thing is you need to be focused on how what you are going to offer to the target would be of benefit to the target, but more importantly, how the gatekeeper moving you forward would be of benefit to your target. And that's how you need to develop your script. These are harder to do in terms of developing a specific script that resonates every time. You kind of have to tailor it to each company or each target that you're talking to. And, of course, as you described, the one where he said, call me, is the easiest one. But it is important to have a script in place with some components in it around the benefit of the gatekeeper advancing you. So an example for something like that would be, hello, Robert. My name is Denise Clancy. I'm calling from Teledirect Partners. And I have a service that I believe would be of interest to Mr. Jones that would allow him to be more effective on the telephone and to advance his sales process more effectively via telephone. Would you be in a position to be able to tell me a little bit about your company and the work that you and Mr. Jones do on the phone?
Okay.
So you ask permission of the person to give you more information. And you say, you know, would you be in a position, are you able to describe for me? And then you also then, as part of the process, say, you know, is there a good time to reach Mr. Jones? Because I do believe that, you know, he would benefit from hearing my offering, and your company would benefit from this offering, and I want to make sure that he has an opportunity to understand the services that we provide. Is there a good time of day to reach him? Is there a good time of week to reach him? You get very specific with the gatekeeper to see if you can't get a connection. Very seldom with a gatekeeper will they book an appointment for you. That doesn't usually happen.
Right.
What usually happens is, after you've called a couple times, you can then say, you can do what I call the takeaway. You can say, listen, Sally, you know, I've called a couple times. I just don't seem to be getting through. Would it be best for me to send something via email to Mr. Jones, or should I just wait for his return call if he's interested? Many times, if they've heard from you and they've taken your name a couple of times, they will, in fact, do one of two things. They'll either march your name into Mr. Jones and say, listen, I've talked to her a couple times. Every time I talk to her, she gives me a little bit more information about her company. There's a little bit of value here. I know we're struggling with, you know, customer service. and you should, you know, you should listen to what she has to say, or I've looked her up and it seems credible. Or they'll say to you, you know, he's never reachable. He's not going to return your phone calls. He's in budget meetings all the time now, and he's not even going to entertain this until, you know, a lot of times they'll give you some information.
Right, and then you put them on the follow-up for that.
Yeah, but the most important part of it is they need to believe that there's value in them advancing your cause. And the way you do that a lot of times is through familiarity and respect and trust.
Okay, and what I heard in the call is a very clear articulation of your core message of what you're about. And so they really, so it's understandable to them. We help them with doing such and such. So if it was me, for instance, I'd say what we do is we work with independent professionals such as Mr. Jones to help them get more clients faster, close larger deals, and blah, 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 something like that. And so-and-so suggested that I call. Any outside connection perhaps would help a bit.
Oh, that always helps.
Yeah, always helps, that, yeah. You know, how whatever the connection is. And I thought this is something that Mr. Jones would really like to know more about, as opposed to, do you think he'd like to know? But, you know, sort of from your point of view, I think you said something like that, right?
Yeah, you can do that as well. You can do either approach, and you can actually mix up the approaches. This is what we do, and this is what we offer. Sometimes a gatekeeper will say, we don't need any of that. We don't do any of that. You know, we don't have a customer service team. We outsource the whole thing.
Right. Now, remember, most of the people on this call or listening to this audio program are independent professionals selling, you know, non-commoditized type services of all kinds. And, you know, this kind of call is often the most difficult one. It's more like a cold call or a follow-up from a connection or a referral or something like that. And a lot of people on this call might not even make this kind of call. It's more the follow-up, the kind of things that we talked about earlier. So let's give a little bit easier scenario. You got Mr. Jones's card at a conference when, you know, that you led. You're in Boston. He's in Dallas. You follow up a week later. He expressed some interest or gave the card for follow-up, and you reach a gatekeeper. What kind of thing would you say in that case? That should be a little easier
because
there's the past connection.
Yeah, the other approach with the gatekeeper was a completely cold call.
Right.
You have a past connection. If he asks you to call, if you know someone who knows him,
right,
the gatekeeper will always do something for you if, in fact, there's a, you know, mutual respect between gatekeeper and boss, which, you know, there usually is. You have to assume there is. So
yes.
They will always do something for you. So in that case, you always pull, I call that the trump card, you always pull out that card and use that as part of the process. And here's what it would go if I were calling Mr. Jones. And let's, I'll just take, you know, that his associate, Bill Smith, suggested I call.
Okay.
In his name.
Okay, great.
So I call and I say, you know, hello, my name is Denise Clancy. I'm calling from Teledirect Partners. And Bill Smith suggested that I give a call to Harry Jones because Bill thought that I could work with Mr. Jones, or I could offer some services to Mr. Jones that would benefit Mr. Jones and his business. I work with small to mid-sized businesses and with independent professionals, and I help them be more effective on the telephone, either by increasing their revenue or improving their customer communication.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mr. Jones available that I might speak with him?
And I'd say, well, not right now. He's out of town until Tuesday.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name when I first spoke.
Oh, my name's Robert.
Robert. Robert, I wonder if you could help me out.
Sure.
Mr. Smith did think that this would be a great conversation to have with Mr. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could suggest for me some times or days of the week that are best to reach him. Is he usually available in the morning?
Yeah, he usually gets in about 7:30.
About 7:30.
Yeah.
Okay. And is there particular mornings that I should avoid, or are there good mornings? What would you suggest?
Never Mondays.
Okay.
You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, sometimes Friday.
Okay. Well, you know what I'll do? I'm going to try to reach him next week. I'll probably try to reach him on Tuesday at around 7:30 or 8 to see if I can't reach him.
Okay.
And speak with him directly. In the meantime, if you have an opportunity, Robert, I would love it if you would take my name and number and just tell them that I will plan to call him Tuesday. And let me make it 7:30. I'll plan to call him Tuesday at 7:30.
Okay, well, I'll let him know that. And okay. And if that doesn't work, I'll let you know in another time that might work better.
Right. And, Robert, if I don't reach him at 7:30, I'll be sure to give you a call back, and we can touch base and talk about his calendar. How does that sound?
Right. Is there any information you can send me ahead of time?
I would be happy to do that. Would you be willing to provide me with an email address?
Sure.
Okay.
Now, yeah, send it to my email address.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. And then I could hand that to Mr. Jones.
Okay. Then here's what you can expect from me. I will send you an email with a few pieces of information that should be pertinent to his business, particularly based on the conversation that I had with Mr. Smith and what I know of it. And I will follow up with him next week at the appointed hour. In the meantime, in the email, there is my contact information. So if you need to reach me for any reason, you can feel free to pick up the phone and give me a call.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you, Robert, for your time.
Thank you.
I look forward to talking to Mr. Smith.
Okay, good.
All right, bye-bye.
Although, Mr. Smith or Mr. Jones?
Mr. Jones. I'm getting Smith and Jones mixed up. I should have written it down. I wrote down your name, though.
Right.
Now, one of the things I try to do is if you had answered the phone and said your name, I'd try to quickly write
sure.
it down. But if not, I always, at the end of the call, if I haven't caught their name, I ask them their name and I use their name at least once.
Great.
At least once. People love to hear their name pronounced.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's good. So you're really, it's just a business conversation you're having, and you're not treating them as an adversary, but someone that could help you. And you're very straight and direct about what you do. And, sometimes I suppose you get gatekeepers that, after all, their job is to screen things that seem inappropriate. We have the best copier supplies in the world. You're probably never going to get through. But as a professional service with a lead, with a connection, with something like that, approach this very straightforward way, you're going to have more luck, right?
Right. And also, too, if you've done your homework correctly on this one, you get Mr. Smith, who's mentioned Mr. Jones. You say to Mr. Smith, would you mind if I followed up with him and used your name?
Right.
So now you're committed to Mr. Smith, and you're committed to Mr. Jones. And I would also hope that if you're committed to Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones, and something happens to advance Mr. Jones' relationship, that you would drop Mr. Smith a note to say that.
Right.
Yeah, so it goes full circle. It advances two relationships at the same time.
Very good.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, and it's I know we're just kind of doing this role-playing on the spot here, but it's always good not to have it too pat and too slick. I didn't want to...
Yeah, if it sounds too scripted, or even if right. God forbid, you read anything,
right.
It's an immediate turnoff.
Right. So you could have all the words in front of you, but try not to sound too slick.
Right.
Because then you just sound like you're calling from a telemarketing service bureau.
Yes, and we get enough of those calls already.
Yes, yes.
Yes, okay. So, script number four, what's that?
So, script number four is just what I call the general interaction script, the general catch-all script. There's a couple things you need to be prepared for. First of all, what if you get a phone call and, it's somebody that you met at a networking event. Lo and behold, they decided to follow up with you because they were interested in your services.
Yeah.
In your offerings.
Right.
Okay, so it does happen every once in a while.
Sure does.
Having said that, you should have something prepared that allows you to not only identify the common questions and the responses to those questions if someone were to call you, but also a couple little pieces of information about your business that you impart as part of the conversation.
Right.
And now this doesn't have to be, very scripted, because every inbound call is not going to follow your flow. It's somebody else's directing the flow. But you should have that prepared for general interactions. And it can be, actually, in part or in whole, very similar to conversations that you have at networking events or face-to-face where you're describing your business. So it can be very similar.
Yes, and if people have studied any of my materials, such as the InfoGuru Manual, et cetera, I emphasize talking about problems and issues and outcomes, not process, to begin with. We help people that have this issue or concern. We help them produce this result. as opposed to, yes, we lead all these workshops and these are the 50 things about the workshops. And I really want to, can I give you a great example? Somebody calls me from the Yellow Pages and they say, do you do brochures? And I happen to do brochures, or I used to. And I would answer this. What we do is we help small businesses attract more clients. Is that what you're looking for? No, I just want to get a price on a brochure. Well, if I know that, that's not a client I want to work with. So at least I've screened them out. So I always am very clear about what I'm about as I help my clients attract business. And they say, no, well, we just want a brochure. Well, we can help you with the brochure, but what is the purpose? Well, we just want to get a price. Get the idea?
Yeah.
So the more you really, really know what you're offering, you don't go down the rabbit hole that they want to take you, which is usually not where you want to go. So you have to be very, very clear about this message. What our business is about is helping our clients do X or helping them with this problem or concern. So tell me a bit more what you might say if I say, hey, you know, I just saw you in the Yellow Pages and I see you do telemarketing training. Is that what you do?
I think the quick answer would be yes, but the more specific answer about my telemarketing training is that I work with independent professionals to help them improve their relationships and the relationships that they've established over the telephone. Is that something that you're looking for?
Yes, definitely. And then or not, and the conversation goes that way. But it's that very clear message that you've prepared. It's just like you prepare it when you go to a networking event and people say what you do, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very similar. Now, in the telephone, because you don't usually have an opportunity to say something very lengthy before you've lost them.
Right.
And sometimes you don't even get the opportunity to do the follow-up when they say, oh, that's interesting, tell me more.
Right.
You do need to keep it as succinct as you can and get your message across.
Right.
So you need to use, you know, build, you know, in my case, build relationships. I need to use the word telephone. I need to get some certain words out that allow me to be short, sweet, to the point, but not too short, and certainly not too lengthy.
Right. And once they get that point, you can elaborate a bit more, and it goes from there.
Yes. And, you know, and in the telephone, you should always be prepared to ask them a question. Is that what you're looking for? Does that sound of interest to you? Is that the reason you called? You
right.
should be prepared for that kind.
Tell me more about your business and your needs.
Right, because you're not in a situation, you know, you meet the same person in a networking event or at a presentation, you can watch their nonverbals and then move through the conversation where you don't have the luxury of that on the telephone. So you have to get them to come into the conversation as soon as you can.
Okay, good. So we've covered a lot of really good information in this. We still have a lot of more information on tips and ideas, but the last piece on this is, you know, how do you really make sure that this works? I mean, this is the essence of it, what you say, how you say it, when you say it. How do you get better at that?
Well, it's the old adage, practice, practice, practice. I recommend that you take it in steps and you practice. And as you're developing your messages, you should constantly be in the mode of refining your messages and trying slightly different techniques and variations to get it better and better. So where would you start when you practiced? Well, first of all, you do need to write your call guide, and you do need to have identified the questions that you might be asked or the objections you might hear and what a nice response would be. And you should practice those responses. You should speak them out loud. You should speak them in front of a mirror, perhaps call a friend, but practice your responses because the written word looks different than the spoken word. The written word looks different than the spoken word sounds.
Right.
You need to have it sound like a conversation or a part of a conversation. So I recommend you do a number of things. You create your call scripts, your call guides. You create your common questions and answers. You practice in front of a mirror. You can even call your voicemail system or your answering machine and practice there. You can call a friend or...
Oh, and leave a message and then listen to it?
Leave a message and listen, yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah, you could call your friend, you could buddy up, you could create... If you're really tried to launch your business in this way over the telephone, you could actually do a little bit of a buddy system or even a mini mastermind group just around these techniques where you could practice by calling people. In those situations, they could take both sides of the conversation and throw you some curveballs so that, you know, you intentionally fluster you to see how you handle it. But practice is the name of the game. And I always recommend, if you have the luxury of it, to tape your side of the conversation because that provides you with some insights that you didn't have before you started the phone call. So you do have to take the time to set out your goals for the call, to have the right tools around the telephone call in front of you, the right information about what you're offering, what the advantages and the benefits of your service would be to the person. You should have as built into your repertoire, how are you going to ask to advance it to the next step? How do you advance the relationship to the next step? And what are you going to say that allows you to do that?
You should never just leave it in their court. You should recommend something, is what you're saying, right?
You should recommend something, you'll always hear me saying things like, this is what I'd like to do. Here's what I'd recommend would be the next step.
Yes.
You don't have to be that forward.
Yep.
You could use different words.
Or this is what we usually do, or
yes,
things like that.
Or for a situation like you just described, Robert, here's the recommendations that I usually provide. This is the information I usually provide. This is what I usually say we should do now. This is what I say we should do in a week from now. You know, it depends on the progression. It depends on the style of your style, but also in the style of the person on the telephone call. So you either go quickly through it or slow it down. You might use, I think people would be surprised if I didn't say, you know, take the bull by the horn and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. People, knowing my personality, people would say, oh, doesn't sound like Denise. You need to be true to yourself in this regard.
Right.
Always advance the call. And I call it the ask. What are you trying to get to? Where do you need to go? And you can say it in a lot of different ways. And then you should always have, and we've talked about this on the call prior to now, but you should always have a strong close. Now, by strong, that doesn't mean come through the phone at somebody as much as this is what we'll do now, this is what we'll do first, second, third, here's my phone number, what happens? Think through, what happens if they need to rearrange the schedule? Do they have your phone number? You know, those kinds of things.
So you have a process, and you're very clear and direct about communicating that process.
Right, and a lot of times, you know, as I start out with different campaigns, if I'm going to do a lot of phone calls, I'll actually write the process out, and as I'm going through the phone call, particularly as I get to the close, I'll start saying, okay, did I get to the next step? Did I ask them or tell them or imply what we're going to do next together or, you know, me separately? Did I get to the close? Did I give them my phone number? Did I give them my email? Those kinds of things. And I'll literally check the box as I'm walking through the conversation. So you can actually create, if you needed to, if you really needed a guide for the call, you could create a basic thing that has, you know, basic things like information about the company, but also what your next steps are with the company.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You know, if you were having this conversation with an actor about preparing for a play, it would be pretty obvious that they'd have to practice and memorize the lines. But it's kind of funny that in a situation where you're making calls, a lot of people just think they can handle it by winging it. And that's not very professional and it's not very effective. So, you know, this is your livelihood. You want to be prepared, and if you are, it's going to make a lot of difference.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring up that analogy because a lot of people will say, oh, you know, I'm not really good at this. But if you do prepare and you practice, and if you, you know, put yourself in the mode of saying, you know, it's showtime, I'm on
yes,
now.
Yes, showtime.
You know, it's really interesting to see, you know, what the style. There are a lot of people out there that do this for a living, that sell on the telephone for a living, yet you wouldn't recognize them on the street based on how they interact with you.
Right.
So you can be different on the phone, as I'm sure most people know. You can be different on the phone than you are in person, and it's just a matter of practicing to develop the right skills.
Okay, good. So in the next part, what we're going to do, Denise, is we're going to talk about some of the tools and some of the basic other tips and techniques and a few other things. So let's just in this, and people can pick up the next recording where we'll start with the second part.